You've been dealing with Genesis chapter 1, where the explanation was given, to all the way back to the miracle of Mark chapter 8, where Jesus touched the man and said, "I see men as trees walking." The explanation of that is found in Genesis chapter 1. We found out that God put an order to things. There were three things that was produced from the ground when God created this earth. We know the first three things that were made was the grass, the herb yielding seed, and the tree with the seed in it to produce the fruit. And how that we have come to the place where Jesus goes right back to that in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, he talks about the ground that is now cursed and the hindrance that we have, because God intended us to first be like the grass, to have connectivity one with another. Second, to be like the herb in that it is seed producing. He wants us to be productive. So he tells us about productivity. And finally, he talks about our legacy in the fact that we see men as trees, the seed that is there. Christ was born of the seed of woman. So we find out that when you take an embryo, and an embryo inside its mother's womb looks exactly like a seedling when it started. And then, of course, came the curse, and the curse changed everything. And because of that, Jesus deals now with these areas of those three things that he created before he made man. And really, not that man is made in that image, it's just that we see the creativity and the nature of God in creativity, because he reveals to us the things that are not seen by the things that are seen, the things which he has made. So this morning I dealt a little bit with the first soil that's mentioned. We find that first soil. I'm not going back to all of the text, if you'd allow me, but we find the first soil called the wayside soil in verse 4. And if you will look with me, when we talk about the wayside soil, it was explained in verse 15. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." We've clarified in all of this, the problem's not the seed. The seed is the word of God and it's incorruptible. The problem is with the ground that has been cursed now. So first he talks about wayside ground, the place where grass used to be. The first thing the devil does is try to break our connection with one another and connection with others to try to make us feel isolated, as though that we don't need one another, but we do need one another. And he does that, as we discovered today in Psalm 102. He talks about the birds coming to eat the seed. He talks about dry places and desert places. And that's where we dealt a little bit this morning with the fact that he uses discouragement and depression and sadness and grief. That's the tools that he uses to try to get the seed, the good seed, from coming into us. If he ever knows, if he ever realizes that there is some way that we have come to God to say, "Break my broken heart, and Lord, give me healing in my heart." And if good seed gets in us, which is the word of God, then suddenly shackles are broken. And we all battle discouragement and disappointment. Nobody here tonight will escape this world without times of depression. And we know when depression goes too long, that soon, even though we're blessed to have therapists and medication, please hear me, all of those things are strategies, but they're not the weapon to break it. Those are the strategies that you still need, the weapon of prayer and the weapon of God's power to use those strategies effectively. That's why sometimes the best of doctors are giving you the best of advice, but you're not getting any better. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not going through your discouragement and depression because God is punishing you. You're not going through it because God doesn't love you. You're not going through it because you're a bad person. You're going through these things because it is the devil's way of keeping the seed from getting inside of us and us finding deliverance over that. So I want to remind you tonight, no matter how down you are, God loves you. He hasn't forsaken you. Hallelujah! He hasn't left you. So he uses discouragement. The second thing we see is not only wayside soil, but stony ground. So there's the wayside ground that's hard and dry. That's a description of us when we go through discouragement, disappointment, and depression. Don't look down your nose at people that don't smile all the time. You're just good at faking it. It's there. It's real. According to what I've read, over half the people in our country will have something happen to them before the age of 14 that can set them on a course of discouragement and depression that they may battle the rest of their life. Half of them. So then what's the next thing? This stony ground. Now the stony ground is different. Because the stones are there, there's not enough soil to let that plant come up. And he clarifies exactly what happens. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. A lot of times people come and pray about these things and they get victory, but by the time they get home or wake up the next morning, something's happened. Because it's sown on stony ground. What happens? Well, they have no root according to verse 17 in themselves. Doesn't say that the word doesn't have root. They have no root in themselves. They haven't made any good ground available yet. They didn't pick the stones out. You going to help me preach or not? That's what it says. And so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are, and what's the next word? Offended. Offended. That's the next great emotion that we battle in life, even as Christians. First, we deal with disappointment and discouragement. Second, that disappointment and discouragement, if not taken care of, will become anger. They are offended. The word offended comes from a Greek word that, among other things, means indignant. They get mad. Now, again, I'm not making this stuff up. God tells us exactly what this plan is all the way back in Jonah, Jonah chapter 4. You remember God sent Jonah to preach the message, and Jonah went and preached the message, and all of a sudden, the city of Nineveh, they started to repent. And the strangest thing in chapter 4, when you open chapter 4 and read it, you'll find out that Jonah, because they repented, see, it got his pride. He went and preached a message, preached destruction and judgment. Now judgment's not coming. And because of that, he thought that's the way it was going to be, the way that he had planned it. And when it didn't go according to his plan, the Bible says that he not only got angry in chapter 4 and verse 1, he got very angry. And God taught him a lesson through a plant. God let that plant spring up overnight. And then he was pleased with that plant. But suddenly a worm comes and smites the plant. But the lesson isn't the plant that is gone, because really that's what's happening here in stony ground. It's a place where the herb yielding seed used to be. It springs up, can't take root, can't become productive. Anger keeps us from becoming productive. And God's teaching him a lesson. The worm cuts down the gourd so the heat can come down on Jonah's head. And when the heat is greater on his head, he passes out from this anger that he's going through. And he wishes that he was dead. He's so mad that he's going to kill somebody or die. It's not that the gourd was the plant. Jonah was the plant. He sprung up with a message. But now out of anger, he's about to die. We all have anger issues at times. All of us. All of us. I'm dealing with some right now. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but I still battle it. I was a fighter before I got saved. My nature, I was a fighter by nature. That's just what I was. I didn't say that I fought good, and I sure didn't fight fair, but I won more than I lost. And sometimes you get to the place where you just get angry. People will betray you. People will let you down. People will do things that's not right. People won't hear what's going on. They won't heed what's happening. And sometimes it just comes on you. I didn't say that you were wrong. I said you're mad. That's the problem with anger. You can be right, and that's what makes you mad. Because you're right. And they won't deal with it. Sometimes I get so tired of preaching the same thing, telling you the same thing, and some of you are going to counsel you 100 times over for the same old sin and the same old stuff. Why don't you just listen? Why don't you just do right? Why is it the same thing over and over and over again? And you get angry. I get angry. But here's the difference. Don't swallow it. That's bad seed. Don't swallow it. You swallow anger, and it'll not only affect your spirit, it'll affect your body. A lot of physical conditions we have today, we don't want to admit to it, but it's true. Studies prove. I'm glad that Carrie's here tonight. Look, I've already thrown my handkerchief. I'm going to hold that. I want to throw it at you later on. I'm kidding, folks. I know that I think you just completed some added certification in the mental health field as well. And I'm repeating. How many times do I say it? You don't have to be smart. You just have to know smart people. You'd be amazed what happens if you don't deal with anger. Anger, according to specialists, tell me it can lower your immune system. Do you know that anger causes chronic headaches? Anger can be a cause of high blood pressure. If you're in tip-top shape and you exercise and you eat right and you take care of yourself and no medicine can get your high blood pressure in check, there's a good possibility you're dealing with anger issues. You swallowed it. Do you know that if you have an outburst of anger, you are twice as likely to have a heart attack within 2 hours of that outburst? You are 3 times as likely, according to some medical expert, to have a stroke. When you have people look at you and say, don't stroke out, that's more than a saying. Do you know that a lot of digestive problems, you know why people have a lot of digestive, not always, now come on, don't look at me and start texting me and yelling at me and get your feelings all hurt because you can't handle the truth. I'm going to preach the truth whether you can handle it or not. There's a lot of digestive problems that come about because you swallowed anger. And it keeps you irritable. You don't have a nervous stomach, you're mad. You swallowed it. You take all the pills you want to take and it won't get better. Because you keep chewing the same thing. You're chewing on stuff that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. Let it go. Anger. See, the truth of the matter is, you've got to come to the place where that you say, there's too much stones have gotten into my heart for the seed to take root. I'm planting the wrong thing. You plant it in your mind, that's what you're going to get. I can tell you're thrilled. Well, hold on, here comes the last one. So we have the place, the wayside soil, where grass used to be, but it's not now. We have the stony ground where the herbs used to be, but they can't get root. See, that's the whole thing. Anger will kill your productivity. You can't do anything, accomplish anything in a day because you're too mad. You're too angry. Can't stay focused. Can't stay on target. But if that doesn't work, you've got the thorny ground. And we settled that this morning. That's the place where trees used to be. The trees in your past. The trees that were your ancestors. The trees that you were around. That now they're cut down. And because they're cut down, he tells us exactly what happens. He says, because they're gone, look at verse 19. He tells us about the things that choke us. I'm only going to deal with one tonight for time's sake. The cares of this world. See, suddenly, you don't have mom and dad's prayers and grandma and grandpa's prayers. They're gone. The prayer warriors are gone. You're under nobody's shelter. The trees have been cut down. And the briars are growing and the thorns are growing. And now you've got to deal with this. And the first thing you deal with is fear. Fear. See, if the devil can't keep you discouraged and can't keep you depressed, and you have good seed and good ground there, and if suddenly the devil can't keep you mad, oh, you get mad, but you know what to do if you're angry. That's why do you think the Bible says, be angry and sin not. How do you sin? You take in the wrong seed. Instead of eating the Word of God and feeding on the Word of God, you're feeding on that anger. That becomes your food. And it destroys your body, soul, and spirit. But then comes fear. Fear, I think, is the worst of all. Fear is something that you think that you would outgrow. It's something that you think would get better with age. All of our senior saints, correct me if you feel like I'm off base. You have the right to. But I personally think fears get greater as you get older. Afraid to drive. Afraid to go out of town. Afraid to balance your checkbook. Hey, laugh all you want to. It's coming, friend. Fears. Now, things happen. You'll face more sickness generally. Now, young people get sick, but generally we face more illness in our body as we get older. As we get older, I take so many pills now I rattle when I walk. And every time they come along, they can, you know, they say, you need this, and you're thinking, I need this. Well, and the next thing you know, that's where you're at. But suddenly, you stay awake nights thinking, did I set the alarm or not? Thinking, there's something I'm supposed to do tomorrow. What is it? You stay awake wondering, you know, somebody kind of gave me a dirty look there. Did I do anything wrong? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? The phone rings and certain numbers come up and you tremble when you go to answer the phone. Fearful. The tiniest of tasks become the greatest of burdens. Fearful. Then suddenly you start getting things that's going wrong in life. And I'm telling you, fear is a tactic that the devil uses against every one of us. And hear what I'm saying. You can start with fear, but whatever you do, you can't finish with victory with fear. You've got to get rid of the fear to be able to have the victory in your life. Fear never leads us to victory. We have to take in the good seed, the Word of God, and say there is power over those things that cause fear. The doctor comes and says, you've got cancer in your body. It's all right if at first you begin to fear, but it won't be long until you have to say, hey, listen, devil, you don't have the final say. God made me and God sustains me. The doctor can give you any diagnosis they want, but you don't have to be in fear. You can't, we heard it last night, you can get the pink slip on your job and there's suddenly fear grip your heart, but in the end, that's not the end of the story. Something rises up inside of us and said, I once was young and now I'm old, but yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's times, well, bless God, there's times that death comes and fear will grip your mind and say, what are you going to do now? You have to say, I reject that. I don't accept that. That's not the end of the story. God's in control and God gives me perfect peace if my mind is stayed on Him. Fear. You can't get up and come to this altar because of fear. Afraid to stand for what's right because of fear. Afraid of the situation you're in. Terrified because your spouse has left you. Terrified because your children have gone astray and the devil says, I've got them now, and you've lived for God for naught. Oh, but you cannot finish that way. You have to rise up and sooner or later say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I have the good seed. And the good seed says that when I raise my children and teach them right, that will never leave them. Fear says your loved ones will never be saved. We went through it today. Jamie felt so led to go to Elsie's husband. We had prayer in Sunday school. We were believing God. Jamie, when I got that text back, that he said, not right now. Man, fear gripped my heart. Fear wanted to tell me. Elsie, and I apologize to you. Fear wanted to tell me. Oh my. He just said no for the last time. And he's not going to make it. But something rose up inside of me and said, he shall live and not die. Oh, bless God. I'm telling you, there's a time where God releases us from our fears. And it happens by getting good seed in good ground. Fear. Afraid to finish your education. Afraid to go back to college. Afraid to apply for that job. Afraid to do what's right. Fear. Afraid to claim healing. Oh. Afraid to stand on the authority of God's Word. Afraid. 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 You can start with it, but you can't get victory trying to finish with it. I deal with people every day of my life that battle fear. But for some reason, people don't want to hear it. There's good seed with good ground. And even though the ground has been cursed by God, there's a God in heaven that has power to overcome the curse. And power to overcome the wrong. Turn us around. How long are you going to hide from it? How long are you just going to sit on a pew? and let it happen. The devil can torture you, but it can't win. Oh, glory. He's not going to win. When are you going to tell him enough? When are you going to say enough? There's one. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.